If you remember, a week before last, I brought you a message about Jonah. And all of us know the story of Jonah. It's called Swallowed Up. This is part two, Jonah's death wish. Remember, Jonah had closed the door on God's voice. God said, arise and go to Nineveh, that wicked city, and preach repentance, lest I come and destroy them. He closed the door on the voice of God, and he paid the consequences. God sent a great storm. Jonah was cast into the sea, swallowed by a great fish. The Old Testament says fish, New Testament says whale. But the story goes much deeper than that. And I want to share with you that Jonah is a portrayal of something very important that the Church of Jesus Christ needs to hear. And as we go through the story of Jonah again, there are some interesting questions that come to our mind, such as, when God told Jonah to go to Nineveh, why didn't he stay there and say no? Why did he board the boat at Joppa to go to Tarshish? He could have stayed right where he was and say, no, I'm not going. Another question that might come to mind, why did Jonah not throw himself into the sea? Why did he ask the crew of the ship to cast him into the sea? And then after Nineveh repented in sackcloth and ashes, and was a true repentance that pleased God, why was Jonah angry and again wanted to die? Well, that was his death wish. I think we'll answer some of those questions as we go through this. Arise and go to Nineveh. You know that Jonah had other options rather than be cast into the sea. He had a multitude of options available to him, much better than being thrown into the Mediterranean Sea. Jonah could have said to the captain of the ship when that storm hit, hey, listen, turn around. We're only a few hours out. Take me back. Take me back to land. I'll pay you. He didn't take that option. He could have said to the captain of the ship, listen, this storm is because of me. Flag down a passing ship that's headed back to Joppa. Flag that ship down. I'll board it. I'll go back. Do that. He didn't take that option. He could have said, listen, if there's no passing ship, take me to Tarshish. I'll get a boat at Tarshish back to Joppa. He didn't take that option. Of course, the most clear option he had was to drop to his knees and say, God, forgive me for my stubborn heart, my disobedience. And no matter which of those four options Jonah took, the sea would have been made calm. But rather than that, he said, throw me overboard. That tells us something about Jonah. Why did Jonah not take those options? Why didn't he cry out to God for mercy? Why did he say, cast me into the sea? Because Jonah had a death wish. He had a death wish. People who live dangerously, who do dangerous things when they don't have to, dangerous sports, extreme sports, it's often said that these people have a death wish. And I'll give you a few examples. A multimillionaire by the name of James Stephen Fawcett was an American businessman, a record-setting aviator, sailor, and adventurer. He was the first person to fly solo nonstop around the world in a balloon, depicted here. He made his fortune in the financial services industry and was best known for many world records, including 5 nonstop circumnavigations of the earth, as a long-distance solo balloonist, as a sailor, as a solo flight fixed-wing aircraft pilot. And that's where he ended up, 2007, crashing into the mountains of California. An adventurer, living on the edge. A man by the name of Will Hensley, who was co-author of Mr. Fawcett's biography, told a Sunday newspaper, "I am not saying that Steve deliberately set out that day to commit suicide." Remember Jonah? Why did Jonah not jump into the sea himself and had the sailors do it? Because he would say, "Well, that's suicide. I don't want to stand before God having committed suicide, so you throw me into the sea." That's possible. Jonah didn't set out to commit suicide. Neither did Mr. Fawcett. I think Steve was drawn to fly there by a subconscious death wish, writes Mr. Hensley. He believed it was time for him to go. And Jonah might have thought the same thing. It's time for me to go. Another example of a subconscious death wish from Psych Central by Dr. Gerald Schoenwolf, PhD. Freud's death wish makes tragic return visit. According to reports, Emma Kelly, a 43-year-old British adventuress and also a school teacher, went missing while kayaking in the Amazon jungle in South America. She knew this part of the river was visited by drug smugglers and pirates, yet she endangered her life. The story appears to be an example of Sigmund Freud's theory of the death wish. Freud wrote, "The goal of all life is death." Partially true. She was beset by drug dealers and pirates, and she was terribly killed. She knew the dangers. Some people say she had a subconscious death wish. I'll get that straight. Death wish. From ARS Technica, which is a website covering news and opinions and technology, a third of U.S. drivers may have a subconscious death wish. They text while driving. CDC survey finds 31% admit to driving while texting within this last month. Nearly a third of American drivers apparently have a death wish. Based on data released this week by the Center for Disease Control, the CDC study is based on data collected in the U.S. during October 2011. The organization found that approximately one in three American drivers send or read text messages on their cell phones while driving. A death wish. People that do dangerous things like texting while they drive. Any violators hear of that? I've done it once. Or kayaking down the Amazon River into dangerous waters where pirates abound. Or sailing balloons around the world, jumping out of airplanes. Death wish. You know that Jonah was doing something very dangerous. More dangerous than jumping out of an airplane, or kayaking down the Amazon, or texting while driving. He was rebelling against God. There is no more dangerous activity in all the world than to close your heart's door on the voice of God when He speaks. When He speaks through Scripture. He was rebelling against God. Jonah, as I said earlier, is a portrayal of something we need to know. He is the portrayal of a carnal mind. Jonah is proof that believers, as he was, "I fear God," he said. "I am a Hebrew." He was a prophet. Believers can have a carnal mind. The Bible says to be carnally minded is death. To be carnally minded is death. Eternal death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Eternal life and eternal peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is at warfare with God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So when God spoke to Jonah and said, go to Nineveh, his mind was supposed to be subject to the law or the word of God, and it wasn't. A carnal mind cannot be subject to the law of God. What is a carnal mind? Well, let's make it simple. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Jonah had not set his affection on physical things, for he knew they would not help him as he was treading water in the Mediterranean for 20, 30 minutes. He set his affection on earthly things, namely, I'm doing what I want to do. I'm performing my own will. Jonah is proof that a true believer, as Paul warns the Corinthians, who are true believers, and a true believer can have a carnal mind. Jonah willfully disobeyed God's command to go. That's what carnal minds do. Jonah fled from his presence. I asked earlier, why didn't Jonah just stay where he was and say no? Why did he get on a boat from Joppa and flee to Tarshish? Because Jonah was thinking, if I stay here, I'll come under such heavy conviction. I don't want that. Because in God's presence is heavy conviction. Remember Isaiah. He was in the presence of God. And the glory of God filled the place. And he says, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. That's what happens when you're in the presence of God. And so Jonah felt, if I stay here, I'm going to just feel so guilty. I'm going to escape that guilt. But you can't. The carnal mind tries to flee conviction of the Holy Ghost. He wished to die rather than go. He stubbornly held out for 3 days in the whale's belly before praying. He abused God's grace. He said, Lord, I fled to Tarshish because I knew you are a gracious God. And if you're going to save those dirty, filthy, barbarian Ninevites, you're certainly going to save me. If you're not going to condemn them, you're not going to condemn me. I'm your servant, so I'm disobeying you. He abused God's grace. That's what carnal minds do. Finally, he went to Nineveh after being vomited out on dry land, only to further escape chastisement from God. Because he was very upset at their salvation. All that intimacy he had with God in the whale's belly, the tears, the sobs, the crying, all was forgotten. And that's a carnal mind. They forget their discipline. They forget the chastening of the Lord, and they go right back to their old ways, as Jonah did. Jonah was displeased with God's mercy upon the Ninevites. A carnal mind is displeased when God blesses other people and not them. And Jonah, in particular, was a prophet to the Hebrews, to Israel, and God was condemning Israel for their sin and saving the barbarians. This didn't sit well with Jonah. You put me through that turmoil, that hell in the whale's belly, and now you're going to save these people so quickly when they deserve damnation? He forgot that he deserved it too. The carnal mind cannot rejoice at someone else's blessing, being blessed. And he wished to die again rather than witness Nineveh's salvation. And God caused Jonah to look over the city. And a gourd, God caused a gourd, a plant, a very thick, luscious plant, to grow up over him. and the little shelter that he made to protect him from the sun. And then God prepared a worm to destroy that gourd, and a strong wind that brought in heat and caused Jonah fatigue and fainting. And God said, you had more pity on that gourd than you did for the people of Nineveh. You have pity, more pity for yourself and your discomfort than you do for those people that I just redeemed from hell. When Jonah said to the men on the ship, throw me overboard, you know what he was saying? He was saying more than throw me overboard. He was saying, I am not going to Nineveh. He knew why that wind came. He said to them, it's because of me. Throw me overboard, I am not going to Nineveh. Of course, God had other plans. There's a difference between saying, I don't want to go to Nineveh, and saying, I'm not going to Nineveh. Jonah didn't say, I don't want to go to Nineveh. He said, I'm not going. I'm not going to Nineveh. Even Jesus said, I'm not going. No, he didn't say, I'm not going to the cross. He said, I don't want to go to the cross. Jesus said that in the garden. He said, Father, if it be possible, may this cup pass from me. I don't want to go to the cross to bear the filthiness of the world. I am pure. I am holy. I am without spot. I am without blemish. And now I must be made sin for the world and take on all the perverseness and the spiritual disease. Father, I don't want to go to the cross. But he didn't say, I won't go to the cross, did he? He said, Father, your will be done. So when Jonah said, throw me overboard, he was saying, I'm not going to Nineveh. Matthew Henry brought out some aspects of Jonah's carnal mind, his commentary. After Jonah had the gourd withered by the worm and the heat caused him weariness, Matthew Henry says he fainted and wished in himself that he might die. If the gourd be killed, if the gourd be dead, kill me too, is what he was saying. Let me die with the gourd. Foolish man, says Henry, that thinks his life is bound up in the life of a weed. Now, this is a carnal mind. Your life is bound up in your business. Your life is bound up in your family. Your life is bound up in your treasures. Your life is bound up in your money. Your life is bound up in a weed. That's what everything is. It's just a weed. And the worm will devour that weed. The worm of death. Same worms that devour our body. Foolish man that thinks his life is bound up in the life of a weed. Note, it is just that those who love to complain should never be left without something to complain of, that their folly may be manifested and corrected and, if possible, cured. And see here how the passions that run into an extreme one way, that is his joy over the gourd, commonly run into an extreme the other way. Jonah, who was in transports of joy when the gourd flourished, is in pangs of grief when the gourd has withered. Inordinate affection. What did Paul say in Colossians? Set your affection on things above, not on the things that be on the earth. Because if you set your affection on things that be on the earth, when the worm devours it, your affections run the other way. Your joy becomes great sorrow. Inordinate or improper affection lays a foundation for inordinate affliction. What we are over fond of, when we have it, we are apt to over grieve for when we lose it, and we may see our folly in both. Of loving something too much, when it's lost, we grieve too much. Arise and go to Nineveh, Jonah. I'm not going. I don't want to repent. I don't want forgiveness. Because if I do repent and seek forgiveness, I'll be headed for Nineveh. Right? And I don't want to go to Nineveh. I'm not going to Nineveh. Nineveh was a physical place to which Jonah was called to go. God calls us to physical Ninevehs too. It may be the sickbed. It may be the hospital. And the carnal mind says, I'm not going the way of sickness. I'm not going to the hospital. You might as well say, I'm not going to the grave. It means the same. The spiritual mind says, Lord, I don't want to go to the hospital. I don't want to have cancer. I don't want to go blind. But not my will, thy will be done. That's the spiritual mind. And that's life and peace. Paul and Silas went to prison. They didn't have a desire to go to prison. We don't want to go to prison. Paul and Silas never said to God, we're not going to prison, God. No, they said, Lord, we may not want to go to prison, but we'll go there if it's your will. And it was. Maybe it's the foreign mission field that God is calling you to. The carnal mind will say, I'm not going there. I'm not going there. Lord, send someone else. But Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. In the path of an enemy, like this young man that we spoke about, John Allen Chow, 26 years old, God called him to the most hostile place on earth, Sentinel, North Sentinel Island. And he was killed by the natives there just this last November, last month. His only desire was to bring the gospel to these heathen, barbarian people. Many unbelievers call him a fool. The believers know he was not. I don't think he said, God, I want to be a martyr for you. Maybe he did. He said, God, I want to preach the gospel to these heathen people. When God called him, he didn't say, God, I'm not going to North Sentinel. It's not what he said. If he had said that, he'd probably be alive today. But to say no to God is to have a death wish. The Inside Travel Report said this about him. Chow paid a group of fishermen about $325 to take him near North Sentinel Island on November 15th, and then used a kayak to paddle to shore. Remember Emma Kelly who paddled kayak down the Amazon? Similar, but similar craft, different experience. Similar death, different motives. One was just an adventurous, the other was a missionary. He seemed to know that his trip was dangerous. He might have said, God, I don't want to go, but he didn't say, God, I'm not going. And illegal. As he wrote in a final diary entry that he believed God helped shield him from the nearby island's law enforcement officials, and then said, God, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. That's not why he went to North Sentinel Island. He didn't go there to die. He was already dead. He already died to his own will. But he didn't say, God, I'm not going. Where is God sending you physically? To a dark workplace where people are using the name of Christ in vain, where you're laughed at? Are you saying, God, I'm not going there? But there are also spiritual places where Christians say to God, I'm not going there. I'm just going to share one with you today. It's pretty heavy. As Jesus prepared people to follow him, if any man or any person come to me and hate not his father, mother and wife and children and brethren, sisters, and even his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his cross and is willing to die and come after me cannot be my disciple. And for many, that was Nineveh. That was North Sentinel Island. Love you more than my mother, father, than my wife, my children, my brothers, and even my own life? Lord, that's Nineveh. That's Nineveh. Because Jonah thought, it would be a torturous death for me in Nineveh. Easier to drown quickly, more quick to drown than to be tortured by the Ninevites. When Jesus said you must take up your cross, he was asking us to die. For many, that's Nineveh, North Sentinel Island. And then right after that, Jesus told this parable. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counts the cost? He just said, you must take up your cross in self-denial and follow me. Now which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost? What he's asking people is, what I just told you, to love me more than life itself, is the cost you have to pay to be my disciple. And you must sit down first and count the cost. Are you saying, I don't want to go there? Or are you saying, I'm not going there? Who wants to go there? In our nature, we don't want to go to a place where we love an invisible God, an invisible Christ, more than ourselves, than our family. We may not at first want to go there, but we dare not say, I'm not going there. Do you have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. And then Jesus said, something that seems to be disconnected to what he just said. You must love him more than life itself. You must take up the cross, be willing to suffer and die for him. Then he tells about the man who wants to build a tower and didn't count the cost and can't finish it. Then he says this, which seems to be a disconnect. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsakes not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. The church cannot make disciples. Many churches have discipleship classes, and we've had that. If they try to disciple people over the years of my ministry, but here's what it comes down to. It's not learning the Bible. It's learning this. just this one part of the Bible. And if we can't get this right, nothing else matters. So what does forsaking all have to do with building a tower? Which of you intending to build a tower, that represents the Christian life, does not sit down and count the cost? The cost is I must love the Lord more than life itself. And if I don't, I'll never finish the tower. And I'll be mocked. What does forsaking all have to do with building the Christian life? If we cannot finish that tower, it's because we have not forsaken all in our hearts. And we're still setting our affection on the things of the world. Of how happy we can be. Of how much we can possess. Of how much we can save. Not how much we can give. But how much we can keep for ourselves. And that person who does not forsake all will not be able to finish the Christian life. Though he or she may go so far, they will not finish it. To the shame of their worm-eaten faith, not to the glory of God. I'm not going there, Christians say. I'm not going to go to that place where I have to love God more than my breath, more than the lives of my children. No, we may not want to go there, because it is like Nineveh, it is like North Sentinel Island, a place of real death, a place of dying to self. And if that be the case in our life, if we're saying to God, and anything we read in Scripture, I'm not going there. I'm not going to run that race as to win the prize. I'm not going to be holy as God is holy. I'm not going to love my neighbor as myself. I'm not going there, God. That's Jonah's carnal mind. And the carnal mind is death. A great Methodist preacher, Clovis G. Chappelle, wrote this. As long as your sin breaks your heart, as long as your disobedience make you lie awake at nights and wet your pillow in tears, there is hope for you. But when you become contented with your wickedness, that's what Jonah was. Throw me overboard. I'm content here. I wish to die. When you are content with your wickedness, your disobedience, your desire not to go to Nineveh or North Sentinel Island or to holiness or to carrying the cross, when you come to believe that it is the best possible for you, then you are in danger indeed. More dangerous than flying a hot air balloon around the world. No, more dangerous than swimming with sharks. More dangerous to shut the door on the voice of God. You are in danger indeed. If you think where you are right now spiritually is good enough, you are in danger indeed. I am in danger indeed if I think that. I am not content where I am spiritually. I want to grow. And as I become discontent with where I am spiritually, I become more content with what is around me, what I possess. I'm more content. Because that's not what I need. I don't need more things in my life. I don't need more health in my life. I'm going to give it all up anyway. need more of Christ. So why did Jonah have this death wish? It was more than subconscious to him. It was very conscious. Was it because he failed God? It wasn't. Was it because he failed God? It was because he didn't want to serve God the way God wanted him to serve. We all fail God. I can't count the number of times I've failed God. But Jonah didn't wish to die because of this failure in his life. He wanted to die because he did not want to serve God. And of course, he would hope that God would take him to heaven. I think that's why he had the men cast him into the sea and not himself. He didn't want to be a self-murderer. Yet it really came down to the same. God was gracious upon Nineveh. He'll be gracious upon me. But the grace of God that God showed Nineveh was a painful lesson. Jonah wished to die because he said, I am not going to Nineveh. I am not going the way God directs me. You know that we Christians have a death wish, a good death wish. The Apostle Paul said, I am in a strait betwixt two things, having a desire to depart. This is in Philippians 1, 23 and 24. Having a desire to depart and be with Christ. And the only way you're going to get there is to die. Paul's saying, I wish to die. Not to escape my beatings, my stonings, my hunger, my nakedness, but to be with Christ. That's a good death wish. Oh, I hear many people, I want to go to heaven to escape all my pain, my suffering, but nothing about I want to be with Jesus. I am your exceedingly great reward, the Lord said to Abraham. I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. It is far better than anything in this life. But notice, Paul offset this holy death wish with, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. What's Paul saying? Lord, I want to go to Nineveh. I want to go to Rome. I want to go to Jerusalem. I want to go to the world. He didn't say, I'm not going. And of course, it caused him to give up his life. Lord, I want to stay here. As much as I desire to be with you in heaven, I want to stay here to help others, to bring the gospel to others. And that's the death wish that we should have. Jonah didn't have that. Or he would have said, God, I'll go to Nineveh to preach the gospel to these poor people. I'll go there, no matter what they do to me. If not one of them repents, if not one of them turn to you, I have done your will. We want to exit this life as the Apostle Paul did, not necessarily having our head chopped off, but saying as he did, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. You see, he saw himself as a living sacrifice. I'm going to be offered. He didn't say, I'm ready to die, but I'm being offered because the Bible says we are to be living sacrifice. Oh, I'm not going there. Now, who wants to have their head chopped off? Who wants to be crucified? Who wants to be martyred? Remember that missionary to the North Sandy Island? I don't want to die. But I'm going into a place he knew, where everyone that set foot on that beach died. I'm now ready to be offered, for I am a living sacrifice. And the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing, that get ready for his coming. It was Matthew Henry that said, those that complain the most in the church are the least ready to stand before God. Jonah was not ready to stand before God, though he thought maybe he could sneak in. No, Jonah had a carnal mind. And the carnal mind is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you offer us a spiritual mind in place of that which is carnal, worldly, sensual, devilish. You offer us the mind of Jesus, who took upon him the form of a servant, something Jonah wasn't willing to do. Lord, you call us to Nineveh, to North Sentinel Island. You call us to love you more than our children, than our husband, our wife, than our homes, our money, our own life. You call us. Are we willing to go? Or are we saying, Lord, I'm not going there? I'm not going to finish the work which was begun. I'm not going to give up all things to follow you. I'm not going to count all as dung that I may win Christ. I'm not going there, Lord. I'm not going on that highway of holiness. Lord, none of us want to suffer an agonizing death of crucifixion. Even Jesus wanted to avoid bearing the sins of the world. But he never said, I'm not going. And we must say the same. Lord, thy will be done. Thy will be done. We may not want to go to the sickbed, to the hospital, to a foreign field. We may not want to go into the presence of an enemy. We may not want to go to prison. Lord, may you never hear us say, I don't go. I won't go. Rather, thy will be done. May this be so, Lord, in every life, we pray. In the wonderful holy name of Jesus, amen. Let's stand and sing a song in closing. Number 596, I surrender all. When we become content where we are spiritually, we become discontented in the world. That has become discontented where we are spiritually, we become more content, because our focus now is, as Paul tells us, to set our interest, our affection on things above. May that be so. I surrender all. 596.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in this present daily bliss. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me. Spirit fill. May I know thy power divine. I surrender all. To thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender. To Jesus, I surrender. Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and mercy. Let thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all. To thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender.
Think of something that you hope the Lord doesn't take from you, and then give it to him. Because if you won't, you're saying, I'm not going there. Might be your health, might be your children, might be your business. When we say, I surrender all, it means all. Lord, do with me as you see fit. Father, may we surrender all. We can think, Lord, of many things we want to hold on to. Yet we are to love you. And that means your will more than them, more than those things. As Jesus said to the Apostle Peter, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than your fishing boats, your business? Go feed my sheep. Oh Lord, may we be willing to serve you as Jonah was not willing to serve you. His death wish was painful. Ours can be joyous when we submit to your will and have that wish to be with you, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh where we can be useful to build up your kingdom, to finish making that tower, make it beautiful, glorious, instead of wasting our time going after the fool's gold of this world. Oh God, save us. Show us, Lord. Work by your grace in our hearts. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please join us for lunch.